From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made the second week of March 2020. Do you remember trying to figure out what pandemic life was going to mean for your family? Suddenly, parents became childcare workers, parents became teachers, millions of Americans had to figure out if they could work from home, many lost their jobs. Childcare has long been a massive burden for so many families, just the cost of it. And the pandemic in so many ways only sharpened that issue. When parents had the chance to go back to work, many had to figure out how to do it safely and what that meant for their kids. A devastating number of American women in particular have not gone back to work, often because they've simply lost their jobs or their pay has been cut and they can't afford childcare. In Washington, members of Congress have promised to take up the issue as part of Build Back Better. But in New York State, elected leaders are not waiting on Washington. They say the resources are there to revolutionize childcare in this state, if the state decides to prioritize it. In the state Senate, this effort is being led by Senator Jessica Ramos. In the state assembly, it's being led by Assemblymember Sarah Clark. They're on a statewide tour, putting the focus on the high cost of childcare and a plan that they would believe would be life-changing for so many. They're working to bring their colleagues on board and pass this plan in 2022. But first, they're with us in studio on Connections. Welcome to Rochester State Senator Jessica Ramos. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Also with us is Assemblymember Sarah Clark. Welcome back to the program.
Great to be back.
On the line with us is Miss Becky from Loving Hands Christian Daycare Center. Miss Becky, welcome. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm very good.
And Renora James is with us, president of Aura's Place. Renora, welcome. Tell us what Aura's Place is.
Thank you. Aura's Place is a group family child care center.
Very good. Well, we appreciate everyone making the time for us here. We reached out just via social media this morning asking listeners if their childcare situation has changed or if the cost has changed, even in just the last 2 years. This obviously, Senator Ramos, is an issue, pandemic or not. But how do you think the last couple of years has changed this picture?
Oh, the cost of childcare has skyrocketed everywhere, but particularly here in New York, where we already have a high cost of living. About 31% of a parent's income typically goes towards childcare, which is a lot of money, an average of $19,000 a year. And yet, our childcare providers are not earning enough money either. And it's just a mathematical equation that doesn't really amount to a profitable industry. Because it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be a commodity. It should be a public utility. Even those who have chosen not to have kids would greatly benefit from making sure that kids 6 weeks through school age are best prepared, are socio-emotionally developed to the best of their ability so that they can be responsive to school and reach their full potential and give us their best as adults.
I think that point is probably overlooked a little bit here. Sometimes this is viewed as, well, I don't have childcare age kids. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have kids at all, or my kids are all grown now. Tell us a little bit more about why this should matter to everybody.
So I think what Sarah and I are trying to do is achieve a fundamental shift in our society's thinking about children. We believe as moms that there is no such thing as someone else's child. All of our children is all of our children, and it would be best served, we would be best served to make sure that we are taking care of them and that they, for example, were able to, with child care providers, identify IEPs early on or any other areas where children might need help so that we can help them get to the best possible place. And I think, you know, we think about it economically many times, but really it's about us creating safe spaces for a child to be dropped off at any point of the day, no questions asked. Right now, childcare is only subsidized for those who are working. Well, you can't take your child with you to an interview, or perhaps you're an adult who isn't making the best decisions right now, and you shouldn't be engaging in that behavior around your child. And this is why I say no questions asked. We want to make sure that children have a place to be dropped off at, and that there is someone linked to that family and knows what's going on in case extra help is needed.
And I would just add on top of that, Yes, we are all raising our children. It does take a village, and we're all part of that equation. But the other piece that really came out in the pandemic is the workforce piece of it. People are literally not going back to their jobs. So you may not have kids, but you're an employer. Now you can't get people to come work for you. Or your coworkers don't show up, and you're taking on extra burdens because of their childcare issues. It is now affecting everybody. So there's no more critical moment than right now.
And to state the obvious here, I'm hoping that everybody listening, whatever your childcare situation, whether you need it or not, does feel compelled to understand this issue as well as we can. If you've got questions that you want answered, and we'll be getting into I hope a lot more detail this hour. You can do that. You can email the program, connections@wxxi.org. You can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And your elected leaders who are in the room with us, they also understand child care because they do happen to be parents. Sarah Clark.
That is our tagline. We say the moms are on
it. The moms are on it.
The moms are on it. I haven't heard that yet. The moms are on it. Yours are how old, Senator?
I have two boys, ages 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm. And an assembly member?
I have three. My daughter is 11 and my boys are 14 and 16. So as much as we've been visiting the providers today, it was very hard to not, you know, take those babies and put them in my pocket. I do miss that age. I do miss that age.
We are very cute.
The moms are on it. Before I talk to Ms. Becky and Renora for their experience, and which I think is really, really important here, let me just ask a little bit about a couple of realistic questions, which is, where are your colleagues on this, and what questions are they raising? I mean, I presume they're raising questions on how this is going to work and what are the funding mechanisms, et cetera. But generally speaking, Assemblymember Clark, where are your colleagues on this one?
I think generally, I mean, I had two child care bills passed this year, both unanimously. I mean, there is a lot of bipartisan support for child care. It is sometimes it may get a little more tricky when you're talking about how to pay for things and stuff like that. But the general concept of childcare has seen bipartisan support in the Assembly and in the Senate. I think amongst those who are really part of this effort to get to transformational childcare and true universal childcare, there is definitely on the majority side huge support amongst our members to really tackle this issue. Between Build Back Better, the ideas that we've been putting forward on creating a really sustainable New York State specific reoccurring revenue that can be used to make us the childcare mecca of the country, is there. I mean, I think people are really open to it because, as we've talked earlier, it's just affecting everybody from the workforce issue to those not getting paid as childcare providers enough, our providers struggling, and our families.
But as you know, sometimes we overframe this in the media as, well, Republicans will do this and Democrats will do that, whereas, especially in this state, for the last decade, there's been this internecine battle on the political left at the state level over things like universal health care, the New York Health Act, et cetera. Does this one fall in the realm that you think will continue to be largely supported, or will there be a sort of a Democratic fight within the party on this?
I think there will be some bipartisan support regardless of what it... we had Senator Rath join us at one of our visits this morning. He's the Republican from the Buffalo area that comes into the 19th Ward. Very open to ideas. I know Senator Ramos.
Yes, I've been joined by Assemblyman Friend up in Big Flats in western New York. And I think that not only do we acknowledge as parents and people on both sides of the aisle, we see that the federal government, the division in the federal government, doesn't necessarily lead to urgent action. And there is an urgency in New York to have a functioning child care system. And I think that that focus is allowing us to really spread our message in the legislature and, you know, hopefully rev up enough parents to call their legislators and get our colleagues signed on to this bill. We're days away from the start of session. That's another thing that I think people don't realize. You know, we're back in action January 5th. And so the clock is ticking, and we want to get this done within the budget.
Well, let's talk about how it works. And the cost, you know, if you live in New York City, the cost may be different than Rochester, but the overall share of your family budget is impacted everywhere by child care. According to the Center for American Progress, new infant care can be $1,300 a month in some places. That's $16,000 a year. From CNBC, families across the United States spend on average $8,355 a year on child care for each child. And a study from YouGov finds that families headed by married couples spend at least 10% of their household income on child care. Single parents are spending more than a third of their income. on child care. I mean, there's a big percentages, and so no surprise to the legislators here, but let's talk about how this works. Senator Ramos, lots of proposals over the year. Give family vouchers, help them cut the cost, fund more workers into the industry, lower the cost. How would this work here?
So here we're looking to ask the top 5% of businesses in New York State, roughly those whose payroll is over $250 million every year, to pay up to 1% in order for us to cover child care for children ages 0 to 3. That would help us generate around $5 billion, which would help us provide grants to expand and build capacity in the program. But I think in many ways, very important in order for us to pay living wages to our child care providers. Nobody is breaking the bank. Nobody is striking gold being a child care provider, even if they're quote unquote for profit. But we're hoping that nobody gets paid under $45,000 a year. And that is both upstate and downstate, so that there is a consistency in care. One of the top concerns that we get from parents when we talk to them about this issue is that there is a transitional workforce because they're not really making sustainable wages. In big flats, I learned that many daycare providers are paying $14.50 an hour when Panera is paying $16. And these are folks who we're entrusting with our most valued little people in our lives, right? And who work year round and do tremendous work helping us raise our children. So we want to do what's right by the program, by the child care providers, and of course, making sure that our children are getting the highest possible quality care.
Those businesses that you're talking about, you would say the top 5% of businesses by revenue?
Yeah, but no, the top 5%, yes, by revenue, and then obviously their payrolls would be up there.
What's an example of a company we're talking about?
We're talking about like PepsiCo, for example, here in New York State, which is a very big employer, they would have to pay up to 1%. By the way, it can't be passed out to the worker. It has to be the company that actually pays that tax, and that's the money that we are going to use to create a stable funding stream for the program. We don't want working families to have to go to Albany every year to grovel for a few cents and make sure that this is funded. We want there to be a stable funding stream.
I just want to make sure I understand something, and I want to give you as much time to explain here because I want to understand this fully. When you say we can't pass that tax cost down to the worker, what does that mean and how do you enforce it?
That means that the company is the one who is paying for it. But because it's a payroll tax, Social Security is a payroll tax,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that's a checkoff. It's something that is deducted from employees. You can see it on your pay stubs every week or bi-weekly.
So this can't be an additional deduction from employee's paycheck.
This cannot be an additional deduction to an employee's paycheck. The employer has to pay for it from their profits on their own.
Okay.
And then would be enforced by the comptroller, by the state comptroller.
Okay.
And the key to it is right now you only qualify for subsidies. There's two different things. One, right now, are providers, and the two we have on the phone will go into this in detail. But they're right now, if they have families that are on subsidies, they're getting paid what's called market rate costs. Their costs are based on this market rate study, which is not really taking into any reality of what true cost of care is. So first and foremost, we have to move to a cost estimate model for our providers, also based on this much higher threshold for paying the workforce. But the second piece is only up to 200% of the poverty line even qualifies for those subsidies. And then there's a cliff. You literally just jump off the cliff. So if you make 25 cents more, you're off child care subsidies. We would increase it to 100% paid for up to 400% of the poverty line. And from there, a sliding scale. So if you're a family of four making just over $100,000, you're both teachers, and that seems like a good salary, but normally you're paying $22,000 in child care. That's still unaffordable. In this plan, you'd be paying a little over $1,000. So it would...
A little over $1,000 total?
Yes.
For the year?
Yes.
From $22,000?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what it means when we say creating this pot, you are creating a whole system that makes childcare affordable from those who are making minimum wage to all of those who are, you know, what we would call typical working class, middle class families, and a sliding scale all the way through to making to the point where no one's paying more than 7% of their income, which is really our key.
And can I ask a dumb question, because I'm trying to keep pace here, and I've seen so many different proposals. So if let's take that family you just talked about that was paying $22,000, now they're going to pay $1,000. What's the mechanism that gets them their bill reduced? Are they getting reimbursed? Is it no?
We have two options. There's a voucher based or contract based. So you as a provider can be a contractor with OCFS or whatever, where it or you as a fan, or you could use the voucher based system. But basically. And there's also an admin cost built into this to help particularly our family-based providers and those who are smaller wouldn't have to take on the admin piece of this. It would be a much more easy system to work through than what is currently. Right now, as a family, too, you have to recertify every month. You know, if your hours are changed, you have to go through a whole nother process. This would just stop all of that and just say, if you're a family and you're making this much money, you are going to get, you know, the state then pays directly to the providers the extra piece of it that you are not. So it's basically like a co-payment system of sorts. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. As a family, it's your co-payment for childcare.
Is it simple enough to be efficient?
Yes. Yes. And we, again, build in a cost of that pot being used as admin so that places like the Child Care Council or others could increase their capacity to be the support backbone that all our providers can use.
Could this business tax pay for the whole deal of it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is the idea, for there to be a stable funding stream that nobody touches, right? This is sacred money for our kids that nobody else touches, and that hopefully we don't need any other additional revenue.
I don't mean to be cynical about the way businesses may react to this, but I don't know that they will say, hey, this is for the children, so let's just let's eat this new tax and that'll be just fine. They're pretty creative at passing on costs in different ways. Senator, you say that they can't pass it on to the workers in the form of a new payroll tax. Okay. But could there be other consequences that we're not thinking of, either rising prices in the marketplace? Could this put any kind of pressure on them to reduce their overall workforce?
Look, private companies are, of course, you know, free to make their own business decisions. I would hope that they see this not only as a very minimal tax that really shouldn't result in an increase in prices of a Pepsi, you know, of a Pepsi soda can, for example, but rather that they see that many of these kids are their future employees. They're only about 20 years away from possibly working for companies like PepsiCo. So this is actually very early on smart employee workforce development, I hate to say, but it's true. You know, making sure that our kids are best prepared, that we're, you know, really trying to end the school to prison pipeline. This is something that leads to our public safety, and that certainly leads to hopefully better functioning adults.
And of course, the biggest elephant that we've seen in the room in the past 18 months is the workforce issue. If our, you know, the family medical leave, when we passed it in the state, it's both an employer and an employee payroll tax that pays for us to get 12 weeks of leave for family, for having a child or other medical emergencies within our family. And a lot of businesses did complain, you know, I'm paying to have my employee not come to work, basically. Well, this is now the opposite. You're paying to have people be able to work.
All right, let's. We're going to open this up to listeners' thoughts on the cost of childcare and what you think about what you're hearing from this proposal from both the members of the State Assembly and Senate who are with us, Senator Jessica Ramos, Assembly Member Sarah Clark here, talking about this plan. They say the moms are on it, and that's the tagline for this. Their hope is to pass it in 2022. Could go into effect as soon as...
The rollout of the program would actually take a few years in order to build out capacity and for us to do it right.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask Ms. Becky and Renora about this. And Renora James is president of Aura's Place, which is a family home daycare serving kids from 6 weeks old all the way up to just about the teenage years. And Renora, first of all, tell me what sort of work is like for you right now. And then kind of, if you could put it in the context of how you see this proposal working.
Well, work is hard. You're watching children from the ages of 6 weeks to 12 years old. We're talking about different personalities, you know, different feeding times, different temperaments. But effectively, it helps to be able to help parents be able to go to work. When the pandemic started, I actually had more children enrolled because we became essential workers for essential workers. People had to go to work. People needed childcare. This proposal, I think, would help us in the fact that it would give us more income because, as she said, the market rate does not pay really cost of care for the children that we care for. And watching children daily and even at the non-essential hours, because I work from 6 a.m. to midnight, I'm only getting like an extra $9.50 per week per child when I work from 4 to midnight. So I think this bill would help us.
How many members of the staff are there at Aura's Place?
Two. Actually, there's four, but two are assistants that just like sub. They're actually also my children. It's a family business. Mm-hmm. So when one can't work, the other one will. But basically, it's just myself and another worker daily.
Could that grow?
Well, actually, not really, because we're only allowed to have 16 children at a time.
Sure.
So we could in the home. So
I gotcha.
We only have 16 children for two workers.
What do you hear from families about what they're dealing with right now, Renora?
Cost of childcare, how expensive it is. Some parents can't afford. Some parents can't even afford the 10% parent fee. And I've had children withdraw for that reason, and then put them in the Head Start program, which doesn't help us in any way either. So.
I think hearing Renora describe what parents are going through, I think one of sort of the great mysteries is the wrong word, sort of, I don't know, contradictions is that childcare is so expensive. Mm-hmm. And so for new parents who have never dealt with it and they're now dealing with it, they often assume, well, boy, childcare, I got to make a lot of money. And most right. people in childcare do not. Despite how expensive it is, it sort of blows people's minds that this is true. But I'm with our guests in the studio on at least one point here. I don't take sides on legislation, but I will say that as a parent, I would like the people caring for my child to be paid really well. Mm-hmm. I think we should all want that. That's not to say that like human beings are bad people or whatever. Right. But I think that it's just a basic equation. You want them well compensated. You want them really fully invested. No one could ever care for your kid as much as you do, but you want them really well compensated. And I think, Senator, yeah. people are surprised at what
and
well child care management.
And you know,
go ahead, Renora. Yeah, go ahead, Renora.
And that's one of the reasons that I work from 6 a.m. to midnight is to be able to afford to live. I need that extra income from that evening rate.
And I did ask Renora, when was the last time you took a vacation?
I can't remember. Yeah. It's been a while.
That's not right.
It's been a while.
I mean, when's the last time you got 8 hours of sleep?
Well, that's true, too. But the thing is, we can't if we take a vacation, then we don't have an income.
Yep.
You know, and if we miss. But the county has been really good to us with giving us paid absences, which really helped us get through the pandemic. But if the child doesn't come, then we don't get paid. And that really cuts into our income. If we have a family of four that does not attend like 3 days out of the week, that's a significant decrease in our income.
Oof. So I do think, Senator, people are probably surprised at what childcare workers generally make.
Oh, yes. And actually, one of the things that we're also factoring into our plan is professional development for our childcare providers so that they're staying, you know, on their toes and are well-trained in whatever the latest techniques and the latest programming and curricula available for early learning is. And we're also factoring in some student loan assistance for our child care providers because we know how difficult this line of work is and we want our society to place a greater value in this line of work.
We actually have degrees that allow you to major in early childhood development. You come out with that degree and you have all that student loan and all that behind you, and they say, here's your job in childcare, that your dream job, and it's $12.50 an hour because that's all we can afford.
And you're stuck in a cycle of poverty yourself.
Yeah. And in the what Renora was getting at too, which is one of the big things, is this cost, this differential cost. So those that do offer nights and weekends, it's so important for the healthcare profession and so many of our essential workers, as well as special needs children. Mm-hmm. We need to have a differential pay because when you have a special needs child, your ratios go down. Well, we need more places to put those children and have loving and wonderful providers help, but if you're not getting any extra for having that child, how can you afford to have your ratios go down?
Well, Amy writes to the program and says, cost has increased, which we can understand. The more frustrating aspect for us is the amount of money we are out each time a quarantine due to exposure occurs. It's adding up to thousands and thousands of money we've spent for services not received. Another listener says, cost has increased and they shortened our day by an hour for cleaning. David writes to the program and says, our childcare location closed, so we stayed with the same company, but we've got a longer drive to a new location. Cost has gone up in the last 2 years. John says, care that we used to pay for is now being provided by a close family member.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are
They're lucky they have that.
That's right. A lot of people are doing their best if they can stretch that with family nearby, which... You know, that impacts family too. I mean, that doesn't come with no cost. I mean, there are other costs beyond just the money of it. But I think John would acknowledge he's fortunate. You're right, Senator, to even have that option because a lot of people don't have that option.
That's right. Not everybody's family lives close by. If you're an immigrant, your network isn't necessarily there. But look, ultimately, we don't want child care providers to have to worry about money, about having to make a profit, about having to think as a business person. We want our child care providers to focus on the children. And yes, of course, they're going to have to do budgeting and make sure that everything is financially sound at their center. But all of their effort and love should really go into continuing to help us raise our children.
And to build on that, I mean, we've gone a lot into like what our vision is, but the reality of the day is a subsidy system. If you're part-time, you get a much lower rate for subsidies. Well, a child care provider they don't have slots they can just fill at a moment's notice. So if you have a part-time family, you're losing money the rest of the days of the week that you're not getting paid. If you have children who are out sick or out quarantining, it's awful that families have to pay for that because they can't send their kid there. But that provider has to have that income or else they would literally close their doors. So how do we just... The system makes no sense right now. We have to really just transform it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care where you are politically. I mean, this is not a good system. It's not really a sustainable scenario. And that's why we're talking about this. And there have been proposals about how to deal with this. And now State Senator Jessica Ramos, State Assembly Member Sarah Clark have put their heads together to come up with a plan that they hope can pass in 2022. After we take our only break of the hour, we're going to hear from Miss Becky from Loving Hands Christian Daycare Center about the picture there. And we'll share more of the feedback from listeners who are talking about childcare, the cost of childcare, what it means to your family, and what you make of this plan that our guests have put forward in New York State. That's all coming up on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we keep our lens on children, and we move from child care to child poverty. Assembly member Harry Bronson is working, among others, with the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative, and they are working on a 10-year plan to cut child poverty in half in this state. But how? How does it work? We talk to the assembly member and more next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Miss Becky is joining us from Loving Hands Christian Daycare Center. And Miss Becky, let me just start by asking you to kind of paint a picture of what the work is like there.
Well, like Lenora said, it is very hard sometimes just trying to deal with all this pandemic and how we can increase our budget and help these families that are in need for childcare. It's very hard when they come up to you and said, well, this is what I get, or I cannot get childcare for any other reasons, and how they're gonna pay for it. Even though with the parent fee, I talked to another parent the other day, there is kind of hard for her. She getting paid bi-weekly, and the money is not enough, but she needs childcare because she don't have nobody else that can take care of her babies. And it's very challenging.
Assemblymember Clark said that this has been really tough on folks like you, Miss Becky, who are doing their best in tough circumstances, and you're sacrificing a lot personally. You know, I know it can be emotional. I don't want to push it too hard here, but I want you to kind of let people know some of the sacrifices you're making to try to make that space work and trying to do the work there. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it can be very emotional. I came from Puerto Rico 7 years ago, and I'm in this business of taking care of children for 3 years. In February 28th, it's going to be 3 years. And yes, I sacrifice a lot. I sacrifice even my room for open a room for infants, because I think it's very important for us as childcare providers to have the space and have the ability to share with these children their needs for a good care, loving and support when the parents are out there getting, you know, gain their own money for fulfill their needs. I think it's very important. No matter how much you have to sacrifice, like I said before, it's going to pay it off. Why is very emotional? Because you giving your own place for other one, I mean, that's the kind of love that I'm talking about. If you really love what you do, just make it with love, no matter what, how much it's going to cost you. For me, it's worth it. I really love what I do. I really love the children. I really love the fact that I can help more people. But like you guys were sharing, daycares are not rich, you know? We have to work very hard for gain money for raise our own children. I'm a mom myself. I'm for 15 years married, and I have 3 children, 19, 16, and 13. He's an ADHD child, and it's very challenging. Even for families, they have children with special needs. They don't find a lot of daycare. They can provide the support they need.
You said you gave up your room. Where do you sleep?
In an air mattress for almost 2 years.
What do you think that the impact would be if, as you understand it, if this plan in New York State passed?
Well, I could say that will be better, and I think financial, there will be less stress in our life. There will be less stress. I could be able, like I said, like I share. I'm not on this place, but I wish I can, so I can sleep better and give all the best that I could give to everybody else. They really need me. Right now, I didn't even get a vacation. You know, and I don't do it. I really miss my family back there in Puerto Rico, but I don't do it because I know their families really, you know, count with me. I can do that. I can go and think those child where they're gonna go, if they're gonna be able to find a good care, they can take care of them. You know, there's different things that we have to think about. It's just not only put them in child in care and just that said, sit down in the front of the TV for the whole day like people think. No, family daycares is different. When we put all our souls, minds, and love in it, it completely changed.
The reviews I'm reading online of Miss Becky are really beautiful and lovely. You're clearly impacting people's lives, Miss Becky. And I know there's a lot of people in your position, as we heard from Renora, as we talk about childcare, the cost of childcare, the stress on families, but also the stress on providers that we're talking about. But Tom emails the program to say, there is no way businesses will pay this tax without making up that money somehow. Okay, so let's talk about that. I mean, our guests are making it clear from their perspective. They think you can't control everything that a private company does, but this tax, which would be, if you're just joining us, this child care plan, a universal child care plan for New York State, if it passes, would be funded with about $5 billion a year in revenue and a tax paid by the top 5% of, is that
yes,
correct, Senator?
Yes, it's the top 5% of businesses in New York, and they would only pay up to 1%. Of a tax.
Okay. So Tom is saying businesses are clever and they're going to find a way out of this. What do you think?
Well, they won't be able to find a way out of this. The comptroller's going to come knocking on their door, expecting them to do what's right and pay their share of this program. And I think that the benefits will speak for themselves. I mean, what Becky was talking about is exactly right. You know, many times we end up having to leave our kids with their grandma, who certainly gives them all of the love in the world, but isn't necessarily trained to actually do activities with them and might plop them in front of the TV for the rest of the afternoon. And that's not what we want. We want high quality care with universal access. And it's going to take big businesses to step up and do their part. And that's something that we've even started to talk to businesses about. We haven't received that much pushback. I think it's a very modest tax, especially for how big the payout is for our society.
And I would echo that to say, you know, there hasn't been any real evidence that medically that paid family leave in New York State has been passed on in some other way to us as residents of this state. So I think we've already seen a model where it hasn't really happened on that one piece. And then the second piece is, I mean, you're taking over, you know, there's going to be a rollout period, but you're going to take childcare workers from $12.50 an hour in many cases to a bottom, to a floor of $45,000 a year. You're taking poverty out of rural areas in the Southern Tier and other places across the upstate New York, where that is life changing.
And $45,000 is what? Some there were in the 20s, $20,
$22.50,
whatever. So a $10 an hour increase at a floor.
Yeah, at a floor. And then on top of that, the families themselves, like we just said, we gave the example of two teachers who are making $100,000 a year are getting $22,000 in childcare costs down to $1,000. So, yes, I mean, I hope businesses do the right thing. I hope they understand the impact that I think this could be a model. I think every business in the country will want to move to New York and say, I now have a dependable workforce. I don't have these challenges every day. I feel comfortable going to bed at night that my employees are going to be able to make it to work tomorrow because all these other challenges are fixed.
And there's actually more disposable income for people, yes, to possibly even buy their products more, right? I mean, this could be an actual huge boon to our local commercial corridors. Perhaps in time, more people will decide to become entrepreneurs themselves and open more small businesses. I mean, we're struggling to figure out how to, you know, level our economy in the face of Amazon and online shopping and all of that. So we'd be smart to actually pump some more money into working families so that they can spend and get their needs covered, too.
Let me ask both of you why you decided to try to fund it this way. I mean, there's the New York State budget is, what is it, over $1 trillion, right? What's the state? No?
The state budget is...
How many billions of dollars?
It's I think, around 100?
100 and 200 billion.
Yeah.
You we'll know, go 200 I missed billion. It for a few. So $200 billion, but you're talking about a $5 billion plan. Is it your feeling that the money really wasn't there in the budget already, that there had to be some new funding mechanism? Did you consider other funding mechanisms?
We have looked at other funding mechanisms. There's a couple pieces here. One, for after-school programming, summer programming, there are some, you know, as we move into the next phases of this to make sure the whole system from 0 to 12 and 18 are good, is, you know, there are some programs that already do after-school programming and do summer programming, but the 0 to 3 has really been the struggle and where the most costs is for families and cost intensiveness for the providers are. So that's where we put most of our effort to start to tackle this issue as we grow it to a much more comprehensive program. I also think tying it to payroll in some ways, there's many other things that are tied, MTA, all these other things down in New York City. But it actually sort of proves that point of our workforce depends on it, right? Like there is this melding of these two pots and we need it to be sustainable, reoccurring, dependable, and earmarked just for this childcare program.
Right. We don't want the funding to be susceptible to the political pendulum of, you know, do we have a Republican governor, a Democratic governor? It should not matter. It's our kids. That money is sacred. And that's why we don't want it to come from any general funds from the New York State budget.
Just looking at the biggest revenue companies in New York State, the list I have from Statista, and tell me if I'm wrong here, JPMorgan Chase, Verizon, Citigroup, Pepsi, IBM, MetLife, the Stone X Group, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, New York Life Insurance, top 10. Is that about right, Senator?
That's about right. And it shows you, you know, these are the companies who are likely, you know, doing so well that they're not going to raise prices on their products, particularly the financial companies, right?
And we've seen other employers do try to help out their employees. I think many employers do see this as a way to support their workforce. And they've maybe done an on-site or they do an extra stipend to help families pay for childcare. But we can't do it employer by employer. And we can't let a hardware store on Witten Road have to figure out how to help his employees when some big company is able to do it. So this would actually even the playing field and support our small businesses in a way that we've never seen.
And I think the reality of work schedules for you know, the average worker in New York nowadays, there's a ton of people freelancing or they have three part-time jobs in different places. They only find out about their schedule the Friday before the week. I mean, there's a lot of adaptability that has had to happen on behalf of parents and on behalf of child care providers. We're just trying to take out a lot of the hardest parts of this equation.
I mean, Goldman Sachs is on that list. And when we're talking about the people who created, or in an industry that created, credit default swaps and an entire derivatives industry that was so opaque it broke the world, I don't know that they wouldn't try to dodge tax. But the point that our guests are making is the mechanisms should be in place to make sure the tax
and
is
we've
paid.
Bailed them out so many times, right? How many times have we bailed out?
Oh, do you think they
banks?
Care?
I don't think they have feelings. No.
No.
But we do want to appeal to at least their bottom line, and hopefully they.
You're
really
making the
do
point is this is
this.
Good for them.
This is good for them.
It's good for companies, stability of workers, productivity, et cetera.
Yes.
And I think good
more
for
money
New York
flowing
State.
Through,
okay. You get more companies in New York State. More companies using their financial products. More it. Can self-perpetuate into a really holistic, amazing place that works on all the different pieces that we need it to work.
Okay, so a couple of points then. From the political right, if you have Republicans who don't agree, and you may not need any Republicans to get this thing through as far as I understand, but let's say you've got Republicans who just want to meet
We'd
with you
like
and talk
them.
This through. Sure,
We'd
of
like
course, of course, of course you would. I'm just talking about in terms of the numbers. But if you had Republicans who meet with you and they say, look, taxing business to pay for this is not the right way to do this. Let the marketplace sort this out. Or if that's not the argument, I want to know what, Sarah, what do you think the argument is from Republicans against this?
I don't know. I mean, anytime you say the taxes word, obviously there's sometimes this sort of gut ultimate challenge
opposition
of
no
taxes
yes.
in any way. But again, like I said, many of our Republican counterparts are in rural areas. And I think this would be transformational in rural areas and not a tax for anyone in their districts. I mean, this
exactly.
is not a tax that's going to be paid by any business in their district. So I hope that we're going to be able to make the point that this would be life-altering for their childcare workforce and life-altering for their families. And that we can continue to build on that, to see it that way, and for them to come along with us.
But you think the main opposition generally is opposition primarily to any new form of taxation.
And one of the other issues I've heard, I mean, with the one thing we didn't, the other elephant in the room, is that Build Back Better has a lot of these requirements in it for your state to move to this kind of a holistic universal child care model. So if we end up getting those dollars down the road, we're going to have to do this anyway. And those dollars would help us do extra things, help us build to capacity faster, so many other things. But we still need our own program to do it. But one of the complaints I've heard from the Build Back Better arguments around childcare is that we're going to close the church childcare provider. We're going to close the family base. And the beauty of our plan is every single type of provider would be able to utilize this program, whether you're a family-based provider, a center-based provider, a legally exempt, meaning a family member watching one or two children. All of them would be able to benefit from
religiously
this.
Affiliated.
Religiously affiliated.
I mean, we've got somebody on the show from the Christian Daycare Center. So, I take that point. On the political left, this is looks like a form of a wealth tax. But a lot of Democrats have argued, whether on the national stage or in New York State in recent years, that if you want to do ambitious things, tax the highest earners, tax the one of the 1% or whatever the number is that people want to choose. This looks like a form of that, but it's not exactly that. Why not just tax the highest earning people as opposed to businesses?
Well, that can fluctuate depending on where we are in our economy. Like right now, we're, of course, in an economic recovery. And we know that, nevertheless, the top 5% of companies are doing well, and they're doing really, really well, no matter what, right? They're the last to go bankrupt in reality. And so seeing that, we want, again, to make sure that we have a stable funding stream that nobody can tamper with.
Okay. I agree with that?
Yes, I would agree. And the wealth tax, again, it's also the how do you say a certain percentage for a certain number of people making a certain amount of money is only tailored to childcare, where payroll taxes are very effective at creating programs that are only tied to it. So that, again, like I said, MTA uses a payroll tax. We use it for paid leave, Social Security. So there's no ability to move that money around in the budget. It is a much more effective way to use.
Chris writes to the program to say, true conservatives will say, don't have kids you can't afford, won't they? Okay, I've heard
that's
that.
That's not how that works.
Well, but I hear that argument. I mean, and it's not always conservatives, but I understand Chris's point that conservatives tend to be more likely to say, hey, you have to plan your own life. The government shouldn't plan it for you. And if you have kids you can't afford, that's on you. What do you say to that, Sarah?
I think that might be true of conservatives up until a point, and then they decide somehow that they want to have a say over what we do with our bodies as women, right? And what choices we can make over whether we're ready to have a child or not. I think that topic can get very dicey from that angle. We don't know what rhyme or reason drives a person to have a child. Perhaps it was an uncomfortable situation. Perhaps it did come from a happy place. Either way, the child exists, and we need to keep the child safe, and we need to provide them with the love, care, and education that they will need in order to develop into a full-functioning adult.
And I would add that very few families can truly afford childcare. So at this point, I mean, if you are basing your number of children or having children on your affordability of childcare, many people would opt out. It's just unsustainable. And so I just can't even imagine, what are we telling no one to ever have children? I mean, what we were trying to do, that we say that
with
school.
No, only the rich can procreate.
Only the rich can have children.
Only the rich can multiply.
It just doesn't really hold water. I mean, that we have public schools, we have all these other systems. I think childcare is one of those that both helps the workforce, helps the family, and helps our children.
Rich in Fairport says, years ago in college, a professor discussed the concept of having a government-sponsored parent wage. The money would be used to pay one parent in a family to remain at home to raise young children. The concept would take into account that families would not financially benefit by having several children. The plan would address the issue of expensive childcare. Raising children would be viewed as a job, not as welfare. That's Rich in Fairport.
Well, what if none of the parents want to stay home to take care of the child, right? I mean, perhaps they have dreams of their own and careers to pursue.
Yes, and I would just say that these are all choices, right? And maybe that would have worked. I don't know. I just can't imagine. Again, we all have ambitions. We all have desires to accomplish things on our time here. But what is really just amazing about that is that very few families can afford to not have both parents working.
Writing to us from British Columbia, David says, I think the child care plan explained on your program is exemplary. I sure hope it passes. Here, we're getting $10 a day daycare slowly introduced. Clearly, the need for affordable child care is enormous. Another listener says, this is crazy. Companies will pass this on in higher prices, and they were hire less people. Is that a concern, Senator? The companies will say, okay, tax us. We won't put a payroll tax in. We will reduce the number of workers for our company.
I don't think that for 1% they would hire fewer people. I think that in essence, in the long run, they'll see that this investment pays back in dividends for society and for their workforce alone. I mean, in the immediate with their current employees and their future employees. That's just the reality.
Agree, Assembly Member?
Yes, I would agree. And I also think the industry that we're most talking about is the financial industry. They are incentivized to continue to have people work. That's how they make their money. They're not going to stop that. Just because of up to 1%. In some cases, it's 0.25, and there's levels to it based on the
0.25,
number of
employees. 0.25, 1%.
Okay. Amy says, this is very simple. It can cost us now, or we can pay much more later. Kids who do not have good care, Parents who can afford to feed, clothe, and keep them healthy will probably not be our doctors, nurses, teachers, business leaders down the road. Well-brought-up children are the basis of a great economy. It is selfish and short-sighted to not provide the care, the resources, and the investment they deserve as fellow human beings.
That's exactly right. I mean, imagine if we can detect some sort of speech impediment or, trouble with a motor skill at an earlier age so that we can begin treating it and really help that kid achieve their potential and pursue the career of their choice. I mean, I think that's a game changer for our society. I like that, listener.
Miss Becky, we're down to 90 seconds. How are the kids in your care doing and what do you envision for their futures?
Well, they're doing very great, and the ambitions, they want to be teachers, they want to be astronauts, they just want to be having a very good career. Right now I have a few of them, they want to be doctors, and it's very great to having them and teaching them and even have them prepare for the future.
They got big dreams.
Yeah,
big dreams. 30 seconds, Renora, but how about you?
I feel I'm proud to be a support system for my families so that I can watch their children and they are able to go to work and help develop the children for our future.
Well, and I appreciate both Renora and Miss Becky being here. And as we wrap here, Assemblymember Clark, what would you tell listeners? Because this is not a done deal. There's a lot of work that you've got to do, that Senator Ramos has to do over the next year plus here. What do you want people keeping in mind here?
That we're all affected by this at every place in our society right now. And there is no critical more moment that we need to fix it. I think sort of the stars are aligning in terms of the issues and the crisis. And so we need you to get on the phones. We need moms to storm the Capitol and join us in our Moms Are On It campaign. And we are going to finally transform childcare here in New York.
I'm sorry to say, we should probably find a different phrase than storm the Capitol after last year. But I take the point.
Sorry.
Strong outpouring of support is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yes. Don't let me admonish you. It's just the first thing that comes to mind, and that's a weird society that we're in now. But the point is, they say the moms are on it, and we will continue to ask the questions that listeners want answered about this, because childcare affects millions of people, if not everybody, as they've explained. And Assemblymember Sarah Clark, thanks for making the time to be here. And Senator Jessica Ramos, same. Thanks for stopping in Rochester as part of the tour here.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Ms. Becky, thanks. Good luck to you. Thanks for sharing your story.
You're very welcome.
And Renora James, same. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We got more connections coming up in a moment.